Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mukbil Yabro, and I'm filling in for Sunny for one more day. He'll be back with you all tomorrow. Let's get into the September 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. On the top, we have Prince Nesta joining us with a report on the African Cup of Nations qualifier roundups and Major League Soccer news. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Mukbil. The Mambas of Mozambique secured a 3-2 win against the Cheetahs of Benin in a Group L match played in Maputo. The win saw Mozambique join holders Senegal in sealing a spot for next year's African Cup of Nations. The Leopards of DR Congo also defeated the Nine Crocodiles of Sudan 2-0, while Mauritania's Al Murabitoun's 2-1 win over the Panthers of Gabon ensured both teams qualified for next year's tourney, scheduled to be held in Cote d'Ivoire. The Super Eagles of Nigeria also hammered Sao Tome and Principe 6-0 in their last AFCON qualification game played at the Godswill Akpabio Stadium in Uyo, Nigeria. Napoli Denjaman Victor Osimhen opened the scoring before Serie A winger Ademola Lookman doubled the lead in the 27th minute. Nottingham Forest striker Taiwo Awoniyi netted the third goal in the 51st minute before Osimhen added two more goals to register his hat-trick. AC Milan striker Samuel Chukwueze sealed the deal 6 minutes before the stoppage time. The win and the Super Eagles are placed as the top team in their group with 15 points, 5 points more than the African Wild Dogs of Guinea-Bissau, who still have a game in hand. The Nigerians will have to wait a little bit longer to know their group stage opponents on October 12th, when the draw for the 2023 African Cup of Nations will be held in Abidjan. In other fixtures, the Taifa Stars of Tanzania also qualified for the African Cup of Nations after securing a 0-0 draw against the Desert Foxes of Algeria. This will be the third time ever Taifa Stars have qualified for the tournament, and the first time since 2019. Algeria have already booked a place as leaders of the group. Both teams secured qualification in Group F at the expense of third-place Uganda Cranes, who also grabbed a 2-0 win over Niger in a match that was played in Marrakesh. Aziz Kayondo and Joseph Ochaya both netted FASAF goals for the Cranes, who registered victory for the first time after 4 consecutive draws during the group stages. Uganda will be absent from the finals for the 2nd consecutive AFCON tournament. Ibrahim Sangare of Nottingham Forest also recorded his name on the score sheet as the Elephants of Ivory Coast ended their Group H campaign with a 1-0 win over the Liquena of Lesotho. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia also registered a 3-0 win over Botswana in Group J, thanks to an own goal from Alfred Velafi and a brace from substitute Yusuf Msakni. The Tunisians topped the group with the already qualified Equatorial Guinea finishing second. Ibrahima Kone, Komori Dumbia and Dujelis all registered their names on the score sheet as Mali secured a 4-0 win against South Sudan. Mustafa Fathi also found the back of the net to help the Pharaohs of Egypt secure a 1-0 win against the Walias of Ethiopia. Other teams which have already qualified for the tournament include host Ivory Coast, the Palancas Negras of Angola, Burkina Faso, the Pharaohs of Egypt, Equatorial Guinea, the Black Stars of Ghana and the Sili National of Guinea, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, Nigeria, South Africa and the Chipolopolo of Zambia have also qualified for the tournament. More games are expected to take place up until Wednesday as 3 final nations, including the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon, still looking to book a spot at the 24-team tournament. Moving on to the Major League Soccer, French footballer of Congolese descent Laris Mabiala and Claudio Bravo are both on target as the Portland Timbers secured a 2-0 home win against Los Angeles FC. Mabiala shared his thoughts on the match.
I'm very happy because of the 3 points. Because, you know, we've been... It's been a hard season, and we knew we needed those 3 points against a very good team. And you know, those are the type of games we want to play. I feel like every time we go and play against a very good team, this is when we just come out and show like good performances like tonight. So I'm very happy, and I just hope that we can keep going this way next weekend.
Timbers coach Miles Joseph commented on his team's performance.
I was really pleased with the performance from the start of the game all the way through to the end. It was a complete game for us. We even came in at halftime and spoke a little bit about some adjustments and showed a little bit of video again, and we came out and scored a goal in that exact way. So it was pretty impressive. Guys are really latching on to some things, and it's really exciting. Couldn't be happier for Lloris. I mean, he's always ready. He's, he's always the first one on the training field, last one off. He's talking to everybody on the team, and, he's a leader. He's a leader in that locker room, and I think when he scored, I think it just lit up everybody in the stadium, everybody on the field, and everybody on the bench.
That's Portland coach Miles Joseph speaking after his team's win against Los Angeles FC in the Major League Soccer League. With seven-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi out of their lineup, Inter Miami still managed to secure a 3-2 win against Kansas City thanks to Leonardo Campana's double goal in a match that was played in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Messi's Argentine counterpart Facundo Farias netted the third goal for the Herons, who remain 14th in the Eastern Conference table. Miami are still undefeated since Messi's arrival at the club, with the Argentine legend already scoring 11 goals and registering 8 assists. Western Conference leaders St. Louis were also held to a 2-2 draw against LA Galaxy. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Keeping it on the pitch, we have Nigeria's national football team defeating Sao Tome 6-0 in the last group of the Africa Cup of Nations qualifying games. Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria defeated the Falcons and True Parrots of Sao Tome and Principe 6-0 to top Group A of the 2024 African Cup of Nations qualifying game. Nigeria emerged group winners with 15 points to book a place in next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament to be hosted by Cote d'Ivoire. The outcome of the match between Guinea-Bissau and Sierra Leone will not affect Nigeria's position in the group. Guinea-Bissau has also qualified for the 2024 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Napoli of Italy forward Victor Osimhen scored a hat-trick to take his tally to 10 goals in the AFCON qualifying games. Ademola Lookman, Taiwo Awoniyi and Samuel Chukwueze also scored for Nigeria during the game. Super Eagles head coach Jose Peseiro says though his team won, the game was not easy.
Against 11 was not easy. For that I said yesterday, it's not easy, repeat the same result. But 6-0 is too much. It's too much. You see the opponents, yesterday Lesotho lose 1-0 with Côte d'Ivoire. And Côte d'Ivoire need to beat them for reach the first position. Egypt beat 1-0 Ethiopia. Why you must beat more? 6-0. I am very happy. I was thinking today was less than 6-0. But our players play the maximum demand and commitment. They want to show for me, I want to stay here for play the AFCON, for win the AFCON. Of course, I push them. Take care. Huh? You must show good demand and commitment today.
Super Eagles midfielder Wilfred Ndidi says the win against Sao Tome and Principe will motivate the team to do well in the World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, of course, at least when you win a game, you get more confidence for the next one. And you try to see some mistakes and where you can really adapt. To be honest, it's a good game and it's actually something that can actually give us more confidence for the next one. And the next one is the next game for the World Cup qualifiers. Of course, 6-0 is a good confidence to go for the next one.
Sao Tome and Principe player Ricardo Cardozo says, though they lost the game, the team is a young one.
I think with Nigeria, we had like a little bit of problem, so we couldn't have the best players that we can have. So, and now we are building a new team with two players and we are working. But now we just had two trainings to work with the new players. What I can promise that I can promise in the long period, we will be better because we just had two trainings with the players. We are knowing each other now. And I think today it was better than last time. And we could show you guys that we can play as well.
Super Eagles coach Jose Peseiro says The next assignment for the team is to prepare and qualify for the 2026 World Cup. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Football, football, football news. Media watchdog groups are asking football authorities in Malawi to punish one of the country's top Super League clubs, Silver Strikers, after its supporters and the coach physically and verbally assaulted journalists at a match last month. Supporters of the club are accused of beating up a sports reporter after he refused their demand to delete photos he was taking at Bingu International Stadium in the capital, Lilongwe. Also, the club's coach allegedly verbally insulted journalists who were interviewing him after the match. Lamek Masina has more in this feature story. Sporty greetings, Lamek.
Sporty greetings to you too, Mukbil. It was a sunny Friday afternoon when two rival clubs, Silver Strikers and Extreme FC, crashed in a Malawi Super League match at Bingu Stadium in the capital, Lilongwe. One of the sports journalists who covered the game was a Smart Chalika, who works for the privately owned Kasupe Radio. As the match gained momentum, a scuffle erupted between the supporters of the two football clubs, forcing a pool of reporters, including Chalika with his mobile phone and a notepad, to capture the fracas. But this did not amuse the battling fans.
Over 15 supporters of Silver Strikers came and started beating me up. And in the process, they were requesting me to delete photographs from my phone and videos from my phone, which I did refuse. And in the process, I gave the phone to one of the reporters and ran for rescue to the nearby police officers in the stadium.
The battling left Chalika with the bruises on his face, arms and legs, and he received medical treatment.
I was injured to my left ankle. Up to date, I'm still feeling the pains of that injured ankle.
The Media Institute for Southern Africa, MISA Malawi, and the Committee to Protect Journalists, which has its headquarters in the United States, have asked the Malawi Football Federation to take the decisive action against the Silver Strikers over the attack on Chalika. The Committee to Protect Journalists says in a statement released this week that the Football Association of Malawi, or FAM, must ensure that it is not seen as condoning any violence on and off the football match, especially when fans assault members of the press. The statement also said there is a precedent worldwide for soccer clubs to be held responsible for the conduct of their fans, including the deduction of league points, and Malawian football authorities must act accordingly. Angela Quinto is the Africa Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists. She told VOA via a messaging app from South Africa that incidents of supporters and officials of football clubs attacking reporters have been happening for a long time. She cited an incident in 2016 in Ghana where supporters of a local team known as Kotoko assaulted a sports reporter for JMFM, who in his live commentary described a penalty awarded to Kotoko as dubious.
We have seen how FIFA and certainly the local federations act against their clubs to ensure that this doesn't become more frequent. I think that it's really up to the Football Federation of Malawi to do the right thing and to investigate. And if they do find the culprits, to send the right signal that such conduct will not be tolerated in future.
Komisiani Zakazaka, the Communications and Competitions Manager for the Football Association of Malawi, told VOA the matter is in the hands of Malawi's Super League. But Williams Banda, General Secretary for the Super League, says they are waiting for communication from Malawi's Football Association.
What I can say as of now is we have not yet received the letter from FAM. We'll contact FAM and we'll find the best way forward. But according to our rules and regulations, an assault is a serious offense which is supposed to be handled by police and need not to be condoned.
George Kaudzama, seen as the chairperson for the Silver Strikers Club, he says the club does not condone any form of violence, but it cannot act without evidence.
If you look at that incident, it hasn't come to us officially, or there hasn't been any complaint officially, and we don't have any footage on the same. And we saw a blanket statement from Ms. Malawi, which was not actually addressed to us.
In a statement published on its website, Ms. Malawi has demanded disciplinary action and prosecution of Silver Strikers Football Club, coach, and supporters for verbally and physically assaulting journalists. The president of the Sports Writers Association of Malawi, Patso Malidadi, told VOA that the attacks on sports reporters on and off football pitches are now very common in Malawi. Malidadi, also sports editor for Malawi's Daily Times, says the assaults prevent many journalists from reporting on some newsworthy incidents which happens during football games because of fear of attacks.
Remember, last season there was an incident which involved the Bullets and Silver Strikers in Lilongwe. The supporters had to fight before the actual game. And reporting that incident, it wasn't easy because most journalists maybe preferred not to report. Otherwise, if they had reported, they would have endangered their lives.
Malidadi says his association is working on measures to stop the attacks.
For now, I wouldn't preempt because we were going to take a certain stand, but the issue now is that we are discussing behind the scenes on what to do to improve the situation. Because if it gets out of hand, then we'll be left with no choice but to issue a blackout stand.
The assaulted journalist, Jalika, says he has engaged lawyers to pursue the matter. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
Now switching things over to tennis, the U.S. Open was exhilarating. Novak Djokovic secured his 24th Grand Slam title by beating Daniil Medvedev in an exciting match at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in New York City. On the women's side, 19-year-old Coco Gauff beats Arya Sabalenka to become the youngest woman to win since Serena Williams did it when she was 17 years old. For more, here's Graeme Eggers with the AP.
19-year-old Coco Gauff has claimed her breakthrough major win, but not before a hard-hitting three-set battle with a second-seed Arena Sabalenka. Gauff took just over 2 hours to post a drama-filled victory, fighting back after winning just two games in the opening set. Having levelled the match at a set all, Gauff produced her best in the last, and her 2-6, 6-3, 6-2 victory put her alongside Serena Williams and Tracy Austin as American teenage winners of the US Open women's title. The big-hitting Sabalenka became increasingly frustrated as Gauff ran down shot after shot, and in the end, 46 unforced errors sealed her fate. I'm Graeme Eggers.
Moving on to the basketball court, FIBA Basketball World Cup action. Germany takes the gold by defeating Serbia 83-77, and Canada beats the U.S. 127-118 to get the bronze medal. None of the teams that medaled in the 2019 Basketball World Cup made the medal round this year, and only two quarterfinalists from 2019 made the quarterfinals this year. That represents almost unprecedented turnover, and FIBA does not mind. FIBA Secretary General Andreas Zeklis on Sunday said its basketball's governing body is seeing the impact of its decisions to increase the size of field to 32 teams and to have 80 teams be part of the qualification process. Parity is good, Zeklis said. It's good because it means competitiveness. It is excellent if it comes together with a higher level of play all the time. What we have achieved is we have reached a greater depth in the rosters of countries. 9 of the 32 that came to this World Cup did not play in the previous World Cup. The quarterfinalists in 2019, the U.S., Serbia, Argentina, France, Spain, Poland, Australia, and the Czech Republic. Of those, only the U.S. and Serbia made it that deep into this year's tournament. Spain, Argentina, and France won gold, silver, and bronze 4 years ago. Spain was ousted in the second round this year. Argentina didn't even make the tournament, and France was eliminated in round one. The decision to open up the 80 teams for the qualifications has changed global basketball on the men's side, Zeklis said. There's no doubt about it. I do believe that we have seen very high-level basketball. He also lauded the work that the three host nations, the Philippines, Indonesia, and Japan, did to execute the event. Manila, Jakarta, and Okinawa played host to first and second round games. The final rounds were played in Manila, and Sunday's gold medal game capped a 45-year wait for the basketball-crazed nation to play host to the title contest again. "It's pride that we were able to host," said Philippine businessman and sports backer Manuel V. Paglaninan, who was instrumental in bringing the World Cup to Manila. "It'd been quite some time since 1978. I just thought the Philippines deserved it again." He came up with an unusual strategy, spread the event over three countries because he thought FIBA would be reluctant to award a second consecutive World Cup to an Asian country after China played host in 2019. "So we had to be quite creative," Paglaninan said. "We took a lead from FIFA because there was a time when Korea and Japan co-hosted the World Cup. We thought about this and we had the sympathetic ear of Patrick Bowman." Bowman was FIBA's Secretary General until his unexpected death in 2018. He asked Paglaninan to lay out his vision, promised to listen with an open mind. In December 2017, the Tri-Nation bid was formally accepted by FIBA and the World Cup was awarded. "And the rest is history," Paglaninan said. FIBA saw its single-game attendance record broken on day one of the World Cup when the Philippines officially drew 38,115. Local officials contend the number of tickets distributed was even higher. For a game against the Dominican Republic, FIBA pointed to other successes from this tournament, such as a game involving Japan's national team being that country's most watched television show this year, and huge rises in social media engagement and followers numbers compared to China 2019. "What a tournament we had," Zaklis said. Now switching over to women's athletics, Agnes Nietich of Kenya shattered the women's only world 10-kilometer record by clocking 29:24. At the World Athletics Elite Label Road Race in Brasov, Romania on Sunday. Nietich, 22, covered the initial 5 kilometers in 14:25, 4 seconds faster than the previous world record for that distance. The previous record was held by the late Agnes Tirop of Kenya. Nietich's compatriot, Catherine Reline, came in second at 30:14. While Uganda's Joy Cheptegei settled for a third-place finish in 30:34. Nietich said she was only interested in getting her numbers in the low 30s. And lastly, we have Samson O'Malley with some African athletics wrap-up. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you too, Mark Bill. We'll begin the wrap of Africa's sport highlight with athletics. Fresh from winning the 1,500 meters and 5,000 meters double at the World Championships in Budapest, Faith Kipyegon will turn her attention to winning a third global title this year at the World Athletics Road Running Championships Riga 2023 on the 1st of October. The multiple world record holder has been named on Kenya's team for the championships. The 29-year-old will be contesting the road mile in the Latvian capital in what will be her first ever road race. She's joined in that event by teammate Nelly Chipchichir, who recently set a 1,500 meters personal best of 3 minutes 56.72 seconds in Xiamen, and steeplechase world record holder Beatrice Chipkoech. Staying with athletics, Namibian athletes from six different sports disciplines who participated in the Commonwealth Games, Special Olympics, World Championships, Para World Championships, and African Beach Games have received their incentives, which form part of a national rewards policy. The announcement of the incentive was made by the chief administrator of the Namibia Sports Commission in Windhoek, Freddy Nguia.
"It's not every gold medal that counts. It's not all silver medal that counts or the bronze medal that counts. The reward policy is very clear. It talks much about elite and it talks about number of countries in that given games. A gold medal where there are five African countries is not a gold medal equally to us as Namibians, because there might be 15 to 25 member countries to call an African championship. And also we also need to look at some of the championship that we undertake Are they sanctioned by the sport commission? Because we are the only organ in this country that must sanction any international event.
And now to volleyball, where Rwanda secured their spot in the quarterfinals of the ongoing African Volleyball Championships, which is underway in Cairo, Egypt, after beating Senegal in three straight sets of 25-21, 25-16, and 25-17 on Wednesday to finish second behind Morocco in Group D. Paulo Duterzo's side was dominant throughout the game, winning the first set 25-21 before claiming the second 25-16. Morocco also reached the last eight after beating Gambia 3-0 to finish the group stages with three wins from three matches. And now to chess. The Nigerian National Chess Championship Qualifier 2023 is taking place in Lagos, Nigeria. The qualifiers, which started on Wednesday, will end this Saturday. 16 players from across Nigeria will face each other in nine rounds to pick the four places left ahead of the national championships in October. Rex Ogunaike is the tournament director.
They've been invited to play these trials, also called qualifiers. Four people will be selected from here, the top four, to join those who have pre-qualified for the finals. We looked at activity within a 9 month period, and we put in place a criteria of meeting 21 games. If you have played at least 21 rated games in the period of 12 months, you will qualify to play this.
In boxing, the African Olympic Boxing Qualifiers is set for this Saturday in Senegal. Seven male boxers, each a category winner, along with 11 female boxers across six categories, will secure their spots for the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris to represent the continent. In rugby news, the 2023 Rugby World Cup begins today, Friday, September 8th, in France. Defending champions, South Africa's Springboks, have continued their preparations ahead of Friday's start of the 2023 Rugby World Cup. The Springboks will begin their Pool B campaign against Scotland on the 10th of September. South Africa assistant coach Dion Davies says competing as the defending champions and playing against Scotland is not easy, as fans expect them to defend their title.
Scotland is a top team in this competition. We feel every game is going to be tough. Every team that's going to play in this competition is going to be a competitive game. For us, obviously, it's a big challenge. I think for Scotland is also a big challenge. We coming here defending ourselves, and they at this point in time playing very, very good rugby. So yeah, we totally zoomed in terms of this game. We're not looking beyond that. At the end of the day, we can just build from this going into the next game.
Finally, the Kenya Basketball Federation has suspended all league matches following an order from the Sports Dispute Tribunal. A petitioner, Dennis Opio, sought and was granted a temporary injunction restraining the federation from conducting the 2023-2024 National League and other basketball-related activities. The KBF Secretary General Ambrose Kosoi said in a letter to its ESCO members, County Brown, branches, team managers, and their stakeholders, that it was halting the league in adherence to those orders.
And that's a wrap for the September 11th edition of the show. Hope you all have a great start to the week. I'm Mukbil Yabro in Washington. I'm in for Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays.